Well, it's the end of the month in podcast time. The last day of June 2020. We're just about ready to open the door to a new month. I've got all the recording equipment up here in the living room at the broadcast bunker. All the windows are open. If you listen carefully, you can hear the wind in the trees in the background. And I think that's great. And I love summer. And I love July. And if you live in the upper Midwest, it's great, this experience of summer that we have, because it's so short. So it is time to do an Easy Talker podcast. Usually these Easy Talker podcasts are walk and talks, but it's too windy to walk, and I have not yet received my little shotgun mic with the really great windscreen, so I can't go out there and do anything in the wind because the portable recorder is just too sensitive. So I'm going to do apply the walk and talk rules to an Easy Talker podcast, and that means that there's no rules, there's no plan. I don't know what I'm going to talk about before I talk about it, although I have some things rolling around in my head. Actually, I have a lot rolling around in my head, and these Easy Talker or walk and talk podcasts are not very easy for me. Because I don't necessarily like rambling, and I don't, I mean, you're kind of playing without a net, basically, when you do a podcast like that. A lot of people do podcasts where they don't plan, they just go, you know, I think it's the radio experience and years and years and years of show prep and everything else. But we're not in an era of show prep and an era of planning shows. Every now and then, you just got to hose things down. So that is what we do with Walk and Talks, and that's what we do in Easy Talker podcasts. So in podcast 937, the Bob Davis Podcasts, welcome to the Anger Incubator. Life in the United States in the summer of 2020. One of the highlights of my week was that the yoga studio opened. So I got to go down to the yoga studio and actually practice. And it was downtown. And I was talking to somebody down there. And I said, boy, you know, I'd move downtown because it's right. I'd move right across the street from this yoga studio if it was back in the day. Because, and I've often thought about that. How close can I get? Now, I live near a yoga studio where I live, so it's okay. But that one isn't open right now. So hopefully that will be. But the thought came up. There's all sorts of things going on in real estate. And what we were saying is they're still going to build, I don't know, 3,200 units or something downtown. And I said, I think the rents are going to go down because I'm being told by many people in real estate that there is a huge movement toward the suburbs right now because of on the heels of what happened recently. And I don't want to get into it too much, but it's definitely a factor in the real estate business. And so if you're a renter or if you're looking to invest, listen up, because I'm going to tell you about my friend Brenda at Auntie B Rentals. I talk to Brenda from time to time about things going on in the real estate market, and she's going to say, she calls me up. So I got her here on the phone, and she's going to share some information. Hey, Brenda.
So what's happening right now in the market is very unique and different than it has been due to the fact of now the Minnesota law lifted that landlords can ask tenants to not renew. It is bringing a wave of tenants out onto the market. Also, it's affecting the sales side. Just the other day, I got four phone calls from very qualified buyers that can't find a house to live in that now need to rent for either a short term or 12 months while they look for their new house. So what I'm doing here at Auntie B Rentals at Realty One Group Choice is I'm taking extra efforts to make sure I'm finding quality tenants to live in a home. So I'm doing these little things along the way that I haven't needed to do in the past that I feel is very crucial to any investor that works with me. I'm not looking to just fill your property. I'm looking to fill your property with a quality tenant for the long haul. Looking for the big picture of a long-term resident? Please call me, Auntie B, at 651-600-7655. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk about everything.
So yeah, Auntie B Rentals. Brenda wants to help people with investment properties. As you've heard, she really knows her business. I can tell you that. And she knows how to find properties. She knows how to crunch out the numbers, determine whether there's value there, find and service tenants, help tenants, by the way. She's not just a friend of the investor, and give property owners peace of mind. Online at auntiebrentals.com or click on the banner at the top of the page, the Bob Davis Podcast.com. And we will talk to Brenda again soon. Have a good one. Shout out to the guys at 36Lyn36ly. And when I say guys, I know there's not just guys there. There are also women. And so it's just everybody that works there at the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. I've been going there for years, passing by there for years, know the owner really well, so I can vouch for these guys. And the main thing I want to get across is, because this is an independently owned and operated refueling station, they always have a better deal on fuel, as well as being committed to the community. And they have a great selection of locally sourced products in the store and great coffee. So the next time you're rolling through Lynn Lake and you need gas, visit the refueling station at 36LYN36Lynn. Look for them online at 36Lynn, on Instagram at 36Lynn, or you can click on the 36Lynn banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. That actually was the title of a story I saw today. The Anger Incubator talks about the things I've been talking about for a long time. You know what the most surreal experience for me is? I did a podcast in early June about the national delirium and the national delusion that we're living under. And I sort of put forth some of these ideas about the algorithms of Facebook and social media that seem to encourage anger and frustration. And people really struggle with understanding that. You'll hear people complaining about social media and saying things about social media, and they it's so interesting to me that they really don't fully understand how these systems are designed to keep you scrolling and keep you active. And the thing that's the weirdest for me is I will do a podcast based on observations and research, and then about 3 weeks later, you'll start to see this, whatever this concept is, filter into the rest of the country and the rest of the media. I had a psychic tell me one time, somehow you're getting information before anybody else. And I don't know quite what to think of that. It might be just because of my unique brain structure and the way that I see patterns, that I see this stuff developing, or because I pay too close attention to the news. So these Easy Talker podcasts are great because you just can't keep doing podcasts about national issues and about especially about politics. Done a lot of podcasts this month about politics and polling, and I'm not sure if there's an audience for it anymore because people are so quick to judge A, B, or C, or usually A or B. And so it gets really difficult to figure out what to talk about if you want to do something unique and advance the story in any way, shape, or form, which is how I was trained to do what I do, which is to say, if you're going to do something, then try to do something that advances thinking. So that's the whole purpose of the podcast in terms of what I'm doing. And when I do Easy Talkers, you know, I don't have all the information available, and I don't have, if I bring something up, I'm going to feel like maybe I'm going to sound stupid because I haven't been able to research it. So a lot of this is just really off the cuff. And quite honestly, I don't want to use this this Easy Talker format to even talk about heavy stuff, because we are steeped in all of this heavy information. So I'm going to start and talk about something I saw on Amazon Prime. And I'm sorry, but I think it's really interesting. And it really evoked an awful lot of really positive emotion with me. And it really was fully engaging. And often it's the things we watch on television that have the most impact. And I'll tell you why that is. It's not so much current, because currently they aren't producing anything. So you have very little production, whether it's dramatic productions or music productions or anything going on in Los Angeles or New York right now, because we're still kind of coming out of, and we may be going back into it, the lockdowns. So it's really hard for the entertainment industry, unless you're doing stuff like this, where you just sit down and record something. But if you are producing a dramatic movie or TV show or something, there's just so many people that are involved, from production assistants all the way to actors and writers and everything else, that you just can't do it if you're in a situation where people are locked down. And So the pickings on television are far and few between, and a lot of stuff that you've already seen 100 times, like Casino, which I can watch anytime, but a lot of movies I've seen. I've watched 2 movies that I have not seen, at least 2 that I have not seen recently. One was Judy, which is the story of the last few months of Judy Garland's life, which is kind of a weird movie for me to watch, but I thought it was great. Renee Zellweger, or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce her name. She plays Judy, which has got to be hard for anyone to play. But anyway, there's also one coming out about Aretha. So I like music movies, so I watch those. But I ran across this thing on Amazon Prime last night. And this is after, you know, I'm trying to catch up on the Vikings, the dramatic series about the Vikings back in the day. And I've watched all the Chicago PDs. And the reason I've watched the Chicago PDs is because, aside from the fact that I'm from Chicago, it's such a bad show. Especially in view of the stuff that's gone on. It's such a bad show that, and I, all my friends are, oh, it's a great show. Well, okay. It's so bad, it's almost campy. That's how I view it. So I get a kick out of it. And that's the only reason I watch Chicago PD while I'm cooking dinner. So you can put it on and you don't have to watch it because you're not going to miss anything. And if you did, they're going to tell you, you know, there's nothing going on in that show that requires any intellectual, connection at all. So I saw this thing on Amazon Prime, The Vast of Night. And I don't know if you've watched this, but I'll tell you why it appealed to me. First of all, it's set in the mid-50s, so there's that. It's set in New Mexico in the mid-50s, so there's even that. In view of the fact that in 1947, as you know or don't know, this would have been where the Roswell incident occurred. And I'm not going to tell you any more about this movie other than the main character is a radio guy, and it's the main character is a radio guy, and it's the 50s, and it's a really small town, and everybody can go down to the local radio station if they want, and it involves a basketball game, and in high school, a lot of my colleagues called the high school basketball games for the local radio station, and so there's always this setup thing, and there's all of that action in this show. It's great for that. I mean, I just loved it. But it evokes some thinking for me. Everybody's focusing on anger right now. I don't know if you've noticed reading, everyone is so angry. And, you know, we've certainly seen some demonstrations of anger, riots and so forth and so on. And after I watched that show, I thought to myself, I don't think it's anger. I think anger is a response to fear. And what's great about this movie or show, it's a movie actually, it's a teleplay, but it's a movie, and it's similar to Stranger Things. It's really similar to Super 8, but it's not a bunch of little kids. It's a different kind of feeling, and I don't want to spoil it because it's really worth just sitting down and watching. It's just fun. It's a fun romp all the way through. It is kind of scary in parts, but it's not nearly as scary as what we're dealing with in the world. And I think I walked away from that, and what's really interesting about it is I'm sure it was made long before the whole coronavirus thing got going. I didn't look to see when they actually shot it and any of that stuff because I'm not that much of a geek. But they managed to really connect to the underlying psyche that seems to be going on in this country. And I don't think it's anger. I think people are really afraid. And I want to address that. I want to say that. I think fear is really starting to take hold in this country. Whether you're watching videos of people in protests, counter protests, seeing people on the... And again, this is not to take a position on the couple in St. Louis in their gated community who were concerned about protesters walking through and they went out on their front porch with their guns. And they weren't really displaying, you know, very effective trigger control. And they were really brandishing the weapons. And Missouri has castle defense, so that there's that. But what I saw with those people was fear. And what I see with a lot of people is fear. And maybe those fears, especially as it pertains to the coronavirus or as it pertains to the specter of protesters running through your neighborhood, running amok, especially when you live in a gated community, there's that. I think people are really afraid. And it's not going to be something that is going to be at the top of our consciousness. So in the second half of this podcast, we'll talk a little bit about fear and some of my takeaways from this show, The Vast of Night. So, yeah, I talked about real estate at the beginning of this podcast. And, of course, you'll see starting to see houses go up for sale. People are starting to think about moving. But I think there's a lot of people in their homes, still in their homes, who have said, you know, this could be really great if we could figure out how to, you know, do some remodeling. A new kitchen, a new master suite. And actually, there are subsidies offered in some of these suburban towns for doing stuff like that. So you might want to look into that. And if you do and you're looking for a contractor, I'm going to refer you to Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders, Inc. in Andover, Minnesota, whitetailbuildersinc.com. They do great work. First of all, Randy is a great craftsman, and his thing is to stay with the customer, with the guy he's working for, the family or whatever, every step of the way, so that you're not dealing with contractors that he goes out and works with. Now, he has great referrals for cabinets, for you know, electricity and things of that nature, but he will be there with you to make sure that your expectations are met no matter what it is. A four-season porch, you know, a new kitchen, a new bathroom, a new master suite, whatever it is. Whitetail Builders is online at whitetailbuildersinc.com, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com, or call Randy on his cell phone, 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Again, they're focused on details. Randy's a great craftsman, and I just can't refer them strongly enough. I've seen his work, and it's great. Whitetail Builders, whitetailbuildersinc.com. Got to get a shout out as well for Depot Star, because lots of companies are seeing their manufacturing get disrupted. For example, Americans can't necessarily travel to Europe very easily. So what happens if you're manufacturing in Europe or manufacturing in China, right? So a lot of companies are bringing some of their production back to the United States. If this is you, please consider Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing right here in Ramsey, Minnesota. Visit them online at depotstar.com, D-E-P-O-T. S-T-A-R, DepotStar.com. One of the things that I like to do in, you know, kind of the unprepped podcast is just kind of share vision or snippets of consciousness. And for me, that means conscious thoughts that I've had or dreams, although I'm not going to talk about dreams necessarily in this podcast. So people can get an idea of you know, how this gets placed in time for me. And I don't want to just sit here and talk about the rug in the living room or the wind in the trees or any of that stuff or the sound of the train back there. Those are all great things. I love sound. Sound is a huge trigger for me. And things like the wind in the trees are a huge trigger for me. And the older I get, the more I think about those summers when, and I think this is true of probably everyone, those summers of being 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, or later, those summers of being 21 or 22 or 23. And you remember things, you remember smells, and you remember sounds. So lately, we've had these really great thunderstorms at night. That's evocative in itself. But then you come out in the morning, and for me, it's usually midday because I don't get up that early. But I mean, I'll get up and open up all the windows and pull the shades up and open the sliding door and walk out on the deck. And I live, you know, by kind of a little forest. It's kind of a little 100-acre wood, if that. It's maybe, you know, probably half an acre or maybe a third of an acre right next to my house. And so when I walk out onto the deck, it's city land, but it's, you know, I walk out on the deck or railroad land and I see this forest, and it also produces this very dank, musty smell. And at the right time of the day, I think the day that I really smelled it, I was actually up at about 6 o'clock, and I went out there and I had my coffee in my hand, and that dank smell hit me, and it reminds me of summer camp when I was in Boy Scouts. and we would get up in the morning to pee, you know, and you could smell this dank sort of wet smell that kind of permeated this area where we had our tents, which were on these wooden pallets. The train's going to come through, which is great. And the other thing was the smell of the mess tent or the mess hall. There was a bunch of these little wooden buildings at this camp. It was just a standard Boy Scout camp. And every morning they'd be making French toast and sausage and bacon and eggs. And you could smell that all over the place. You'd say the closer you got to that little mess hall, the more that you could smell that wonderful breakfasty kind of smell. It was great. And we spent a lot of time in the mess hall, either helping, which sometimes each troop at a different time during the week had to go help at the mess hall or something like that. Or we just go down there. You could get snacks and stuff if you wanted to go in there. Anyway, I walked out a morning recently and that smell hit me. And it was fantastic. It was just a great smell. And it's the sound of the wind in the trees and the feel of hot asphalt under my feet, because I walk around in my bare feet all the time, or the sound of a hot rod in the distance. Those kinds of sounds really get to me in the summer, and it made me realize, and this is the thing that I think is really interesting about, and this is why I brought this up. And I do that to paint a sound picture for you, because I want people listening to kind of have this in their mind. Because we're having, in the midst of all of this scary stuff going on, and I think, you know, we tend to, I know I do, I don't pay any attention to coronavirus because I don't want to. I know I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of talking about whether there's people in the hospital or not. I'm tired of talking about testing. I'm tired of talking about cases. I just don't really care anymore. And I'm not going to do shows about it because I don't need to. For me, it's these sounds and smells of probably one of the best summers that I can remember in the upper Midwest. It has been fabulous. It's warm. We have this ever-changing landscape of the weather every day. We've had a lot of storms. June is a transition month, so it started kind of chilly, but then we had a couple of hot days. And also with the windows open, you get to hear these amazing sounds like the sound of the train. And I just love that. I just love that experience. And it is going on despite all of these terrible things that supposedly are happening in the world, whether it's the fighting over politics or the fighting over coronavirus or COVID-19 or the COVID, whether it is people yelling at each other and calling each other names and horrible things, saying horrible things on social media to each other. There's a world out there that I usually don't encounter at all unless I'm traveling. This world that continues to go on, and it goes on whether we want it to or not. And in spite of all of this beautiful landscape, the sunsets, the lake, the dock in the sunset, the red light of sunset, the magnificent storms or the eclipses or the stars at night or any of those things. Then there is this permeating fear. And when you're steeped in what's going on day to day in the news, when you are looking things up in the news, when you're doing research and trying to say, following this talk radio paradigm, which is just second nature with me, if you're going to talk about something, you should look it up and you should have something to say. Yeah, that's all fine and well. I'm glad I do those, or doing interviews. But then there's this moment that usually I don't experience unless I'm traveling, because you don't know anybody in the towns that you're passing through. And so you're passing through these monumental places. And I say monumental because every little town in Iowa has the square, and every little river town in Illinois has this interesting, unique feel. You go out west, same thing with western towns or southern towns, and you see life going on around you, but you're not part of it because you're not from there. Well, it's the same thing with this beautiful summer that we're having. that for those of us who live in Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin and to a slightly lesser extent Illinois and Indiana and Northern Ohio is going to be very short. It's you know, we're going to have, now we're going to enter July, and I don't want to talk about the weather, the whole thing, but it's fascinating to me. And you're going to have this, it's going to get really hot, and it's going to stay hot, so early, mid-July, all the way through till September, when we would have had the state fair, we're not having this year. Then the weather breaks, and it's over. So we go May, June, July, August, bang. And usually by September 5th or 6th, it's over with. And I don't know what's going to happen, but all of this fighting and rancor and concern, you know, things, people throwing tantrums in Trader Joe's over their mask policy in California, or people waving their guns around in a front yard, or people screaming white power at some silly protest or rally, or people, you know, demanding that people resign, governors resign, demanding that people be deplatformed because they didn't like something that somebody said, people demand tearing down statues, all of these expressions of anger, you know, I would refer to it as a cauldron of anger, not an incubator of anger. I think we're living in a cauldron of anger, but the anger is a symptom. Because what we're really living in is a cauldron of fear. We are operating in an environment where people are terrified. And, you know, maybe that's an overstatement. Say, well, people are terrified. Yeah, I think they are. I think they're really worried, especially certain people in certain age groups are worried that they're going to die. And they don't know how to deal with that. And I would be remiss if I said, oh, I know how to deal with it. You know, I don't know what my reaction is going to be at the moment of actually being confronted with dying. But that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a mortal danger, even though we poo-poo it and we say some people minimize it. Or we play games with statistics and talk about how it's not as bad as they say it is, or we aren't doing enough testing, or we are. Again, we're back into these back and forth arguments that everyone seems to be having, and everyone seems super angry, but what they really are is afraid. So when you see somebody post something on Facebook and you have an intention, or you feel like you have to respond, or Twitter or anything else, don't. Because what they're doing is they're saying nasty things because they're afraid. And I know I can just hear people saying, no, they're saying nasty things because they mean it, and it's a revolution, and these people are going to take over the country, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know, I get it. But I think that fear is a huge thing. And I think it's easy to pass it over because it's the silent killer. It's the thing that nobody is going to say, hey, I'm really afraid. I'm afraid for the country. I'm afraid for my kids. I'm afraid for the future. I'm afraid of what happens if this one wins or if that one wins. I'm afraid of all of these things. But mostly it's feeling that lots of things are out of our control. That's really what causes a lot of fear, because we've been, you know, the United States is an advanced country technology-wise. We all pretty much have cell phone coverage. We all pretty much can watch video in real time. We could do amazing things with technology that we could never do. And for me, it's media stuff, but there's tons of other things that we can do with technology that we couldn't do before. And we're living in an advanced state. And when something happens, we know about it right away. And if we don't, someone else will, and they'll say, hey, did you hear about such and such? Every insult, everything somebody says, everything that somebody does, it's all there. And there's very little in the world today that is safe from that rancor and that anger that is born of fear. So you can't really find music to listen to that's not political. You can't really find, unless you listen to stuff that you know is not political, right? That you have oldies or something. And sometimes that's political, but you don't think of it that way. There's no comedy routine that you can watch that isn't political. There's no news stories that you can read that aren't political. Even sports has become politicized. And all of these things, these former touchstones where we could cool down, don't exist anymore. So when you see something on television that's really dramatically well done, that takes you away from this moment and gives you some perspective, that's an amazing thing. That feels great. And I don't know what I wouldn't I'm not going to tell people what they should do. I'm not going to say, hey, you should do this or you should do that. Should spend more time with Amazon Prime. No, they're not paying. I'm kidding. I wouldn't know what to tell people to do. I know what I'm doing, and I know enough, and I'm introspective enough, and I examine my feelings enough to know at the root. I don't, first of all, I've learned not to be angry, and that was quite a difficult thing for me because I was very angry all the time about many different things, and it's taken me hours and hours and hours of yoga practice and reflection to understand that you got to let go of outcomes and you cannot be attached to process, basically. And you once you do that, it doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It doesn't mean that you don't try to achieve. It just means that you don't put everything into a certain outcome because you don't know if that outcome is going to happen. You do the best you can without getting too long. I learned a long time ago that in my business, which is radio, that if you were recording something, some people would record and stop and record and stop and record and start. They'd spend all day trying to get it perfect. And somebody told me, you're never going to get it perfect. So what you do is you do three takes and you take the best one of the three. And over time, your three takes will get better and better and better. And then you'll get to a point where things are better. So when it comes to podcasting, you want your first podcast to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. And not every podcast you're going to do is going to be amazing. We used to call that workaday. Sometimes you just do a show and it's okay. It's not the greatest that you ever did. And sometimes you do shows and they're amazing, at least for you. And so I've learned over time not to attach myself to outcomes. And then you have to expand that to include day-to-day life and people in your family and things that you actually care about, where you don't attach yourself to outcomes. And then you don't worry about control. I think the fear is not having control. And the truth of the matter is we live in this advanced technological place where we can have anything we want for the most part. And, within reason, obviously poor people can't have everything they want. But most people, if you want a Snickers bar, you can go get a Snickers bar. Even if you got to stand on the street corner and ask people for dollars, you can get a Snickers bar if that's what you want. Or you can get a bag of beans if that's what you want. You can get, a certain thing that you, an ice cream cone or a Big Mac or something like that. You know what I mean when I say we live in an advanced republic. Advanced supply lines, advanced communications, advanced transportation, etc. So when you live in this advanced world, suddenly when you find out that even with all these tools, things are still as uncertain as they ever were, going back to the caves, in the sense that there are things we do not have control over. So I'd say don't be afraid, but fear, and I think people need to start calling it that, it's not anger. It's just flat out people are afraid. They're uncertain about the future. They don't like what's happening because it affects their sense of control. And, they're right to be concerned about that. I'm not saying that, you people are all crazy. What is there to be afraid of? There are some things to genuinely be afraid of. But just remember, if you listen, you can hear the wind in the trees. If you smell, you can smell that wonderful early morning moisture, dew kind of smell. You can still walk through the burned grass. And on a really still night, you can go out and look at the stars, and it's amazing. I'm very happy because my friend Jason Waldron is coming back from vacation out there in South Dakota, where they were doing all kinds of crazy things and riding motorcycles, because Cartridge World is his business, and Cartridge World is the company that can offer you up to 30% off of those print cartridges that you pay through the nose for at the big box retailers. And Cartridge World cartridges, of course, guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Doesn't matter where you are, call them at 763-420-6632. If you're in Maple Grove, by the way, you can get cartridges curbside pickup if you want, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So there you go. There's a little Easy Talker podcast for what many, probably most people will be hearing it over the 4th of July weekend. More podcasts coming, of course, for the 4th of July weekend. So stay tuned. I'll tell you what, if you go to the website, thebobdavispodcast.com, you can subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe to them on iTunes. Also Spotify, if you have an Android device, or if you have Spotify app on your iPhone, Stitcher.com. Thanks for liking and sharing and following the Bob Davis Podcast on social media. I do not want comments. Eventually, I'm going to have to hose that down and do another podcast about it, because I just find that part of the divisive problem. If Facebook wants to fix what they're doing, the best thing they could do is just get rid of comments. Right? And again, thanks for listening to thebobdavispodcast.com, and thanks once again to BNSF for coming through the neighborhood with a train while I was doing the podcast. Love it. Thanks for listening to podcast 937, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Well, I was blue just walking around, had a sinner in my own hometown. Yeah, my hometown. Just the cutest little thing I've ever seen. I want to be my Norma Jean. Well, you're so cute, baby, you're so cool. Are you lying to me, you're fool? Just the cutest little thing I ever seen. I want you to be my Norma Jean. Norma Jean, can't you talk to me? Norma Jean, I seen you on the streets and in my dreams.